afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary from, I don't know, it's Monday. It's spring. It's just one of those last-minute, up-to-the-radio, get-your-stuff-together. Hello, Butch. Happy spring.
Hello,
it's March 21st.
Absolutely. 75 degrees out here. It feels so good.
Well, I didn't have that today. We were still in the low 60s, but
that's not
maybe
bad.
We'll have that tomorrow.
But the trees are starting to bud, and we have, of course, the daffodils all blooming, and the coltfoot's up all along the highway and blooming. So it's good. Springtime is here. Birds are singing everywhere, and I like springtime.
I do, too.
I do.
I'm ready for it this year for some reason. But we're also ready for gold to take a little bit of a jump up, and it did today, up $14.50 at $19.37. Silver is up 21 cents at $25.29. Platinum was up 11 at 1,044, and palladium was up almost 5% again at 2,684. The USDX today was up 0.33 at 98.53. Markets today, the paper markets snapped a five-day winning streak. Gee, Powell came out and said inflation is too high, that it's just not gee, I thought that inflation was transitory. What an idiot. I mean, wow. I'm sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean to call him an idiot.
It's understandable.
Okay. But the Dow was down. Yeah, the Dow was down 400 points. They brought 400 points. They brought it back. It's now down 200 at 34,552. The S&P is basically unchanged at 4,461. And the NASDAQ basically unchanged, down 55 points at 13,838. Asian markets, only the Hang Seng was negative. Europe was probably a mixed bag. Yes, it is. And the 10-year yield today, 2.30%. 2.30%. So that little bugger is just continuing to move. And but what's interesting is the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, vowed tough action on inflation, which he said jeopardizes this recovery. He said that the Fed will continue to hike rates until inflation comes under control and could even get more aggressive than last week's little quarter point, which was the first in more than 3 years, though. He noted that those rate rises could go from the traditional 25 basis point moves to a more aggressive 50 basis point increases if necessary. And so he's vowing to take that tough action. It's not going to be anything like his predecessor from years ago, but that really did some major rate increases, but this was his speech that came less than a week after he raised those rates, and but they're still going to accommodate the market no matter what. So you can talk that you're going to raise your rates these 50 basis points, but the market begins to unwind significantly. I will still think that they will accommodate. But so anyway, we'll see. And the governments, and I know you have something that you want to talk about it today, where the government is going to address these inflationary gas prices. Let's send the people more money.
Yes.
More money.
Well, and we know, I'm going to share it in a minute, in the first article here, that Nancy Pelosi said government spending does not cause inflation. So we're okay. Don't worry about it. We're okay.
Well, we should trust her, right?
It didn't cause inflation. Of course. Of course we should.
No, it's their monetary policy that causes inflation. It's their monetary policy that causes inflation.
Well, you know that
which is government.
It can't be the government's fault.
No, of course not.
It can't be their fault. You know better than that.
No, people just go
out.
People are just spending too much money.
That's why it is. People are just too wealthy.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Too wealthy.
with this first article I want to share in a minute, the stagflation trap will lead to universal basic income and food rationing. You know, I am absolutely amazed. I have to give, I don't know what to call them, the other side credit, how they herd us into the chute. Every day, I mean, it's taken a long time. I mean, year upon year upon year, and now it's in months, and now down to days. They're herding us into a chute. They said back in 1950, we're told we're going into a world government, whether we like it or not, by consent or conquest, one or the other. And I've watched them since I've been open to seeing this over the last 25 years or so, watch them move us further and further in that position and closing the space for us to turn around every day. I mean, they're getting us into the chute where we can't turn around pretty soon. We're going to go right into it, and there won't be a thing we can do about it. But the masses still haven't caught on to it. They haven't. So you go ahead. When you're going to share this article, I'll share it.
No, go ahead.
Okay, because it's a little bit lengthy. I didn't get it all off. But I got enough up to show people how this is working. Folks, we've been talking about the UBI here. This program, how long, Bill? A couple of years now?
Oh.
They've been trying to do this, at least?
We've been aware. It's been around for a long time. But since you've been doing the programs with me, we've been talking about it. But
yes,
it's
yes.
been around a lot longer than that.
And it said this past week, during a conference discussing Biden's Build Back Better, that's a nice name for so. Build Back Better scheme, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was confronted with questions on skyrocketing inflation. After referring to higher gas prices as the Putin tax, she went on to offer perhaps the dumbest or most insidious denial on the cause of inflation that I've ever heard. She stated, when we're having this discussion, it's important to dispel some of those who say, well, it's the government spending. No, it isn't. The government spending is doing the exact reverse, reducing the national debt. It is not inflationary. I got to repeat that. The government spending is doing the exact reverse, reducing the national debt. It is not inflationary. Melody, please tell me how government spending reduces the debt. Explain that one to me. That's one of those things you just look say, duh, huh? Anyway, the first initiative is a concept of universal basic income. We heard a lot about this a few years ago, but the idea didn't stick too well with the American public. The truth, however, is that we already had UBI for a time in the form of COVID stimulus checks. This helicopter money was funded by over $6 trillion in central bank fiat created from nothing, and then directly injected into citizens' accounts. It was barely enough for people to live on by itself, but in conjunction with other welfare programs and unemployment checks, millions of people were living the easy life at home for well over a year. The money was so easy that the policy actually triggered a national labor shortage. This small taste of UBI might have given people the wrong impression about such stimulus programs. Now, I got to say this, Melody. That was a nice con job to get people used to the idea that I don't have to go to work.
Yep.
And it worked. After the COVID programs, the public might be led to believe that UBI would result in a carefree life with money to go around. By themselves, without the benefit of other welfare programs, the COVID checks would not have been enough to keep people housed and fed. The standard of living for the average person would have to fall dramatically for UBI to work at all. Inner stagflation. With economic decline crushing our living standards, it could be easier for the establishment to lure the public into UBI. Along with communist-style price controls across the board and a reduced population due to starvation and poverty, the public will be able to survive, but barely. There would no longer be such a thing as personal wealth. Only the scraps that governments and bankers are willing to throw people. On top of that, resistance to authoritism would be nearly impossible. Once the government takes on the role of mommy and daddy, and the only source of food and housing for the citizenry, they are far less likely to stand against any abuse the establishment wants to dish out. And folks, that makes common sense. If you bite the hand to feed you, it ain't going to feed you. So we don't bite the hand that feeds us. That's why we see so much compromise already in the job place and the welfare check. People will sell their souls keeping money coming in. Now, they really will. That's in the Bible. UBI is a candy-coated trap which breeds dependency in a population. Free money is an addictive drug, and America just had a big taste during the pandemic. This leads us to the second WEF, or World Economic Forum Great Reset Program, which is the concepts of the shared economy. The globalists think that you should own nothing, have no privacy, and be happy about it. The initial danger here involves rationing. A government cannot institute UBI measures during a stagflationary crisis without also instituting price controls, because otherwise the fiat stimulus used to provide the UBI checks would only create more inflation and prices. If UBI is meant to offset inflation but it creates more inflation, then UBI becomes useless. This is another little fact that people like Pelosi will try to gloss over when they claim that money printing helps fight inflation. When price controls are implemented, manufacturing will implode further because price controls mean producers of necessities will not be able to make much of a profit, or they will make no profit at all. There will be no incentive to produce among the people that actually know how to produce, and these people are not easy to replace. The supply of goods will not be able to meet demand. Naturally, the government will take over the opportunity. Now listen to this, folks. Naturally, the government will take the opportunity to limit the amount of goods any single person or family is allowed to purchase or stockpile through rationing cards. Yeah, folks, it's going to happen. These kinds of measures have been used in the past, usually during wartime or under communist regimes. But in this case, a rationing will be digital and permanent and will be designed to further control food and other sources as a means to prevent rebellion by the public. By the public. If you can't store more than a week's worth of necessities at any given time, then your ability to buy the government is non-existent unless you know how to live off the land or have access to black markets. All they have to do is cut off your monthly UBI checks and ration account and watch you starve. Wow. And there's more to it than that, but it's a little bit more, it's quite lengthy, but that made the point. Very good point. The more we depend on the government to take care of us, the more they're going to control us. And I know that many probably folks that say 30 and under today, maybe that right now these people may be a little bit older than that. Maybe they're thinking UBI is a good income. And let's face it, we went in that trap also before we were born. Social Security was in. That's not a type of UBI. Oh, you say, no, I paid into it. Yes, you did. But it's a basic income they promise you the rest of your life. That can be cut off. It had been cut off before. It can happen again. So this, we got used to this gradually. After all, it's a safety net. I mean, if when I retire, I got something coming in. If I get support, I mean, they'll furnish me housing. They'll give me food stamps. They'll take care of my medical needs. They'll do all that for me. So it's really been a safety net. We no longer have to worry about taking care of ourselves. If we get support, we can't do it. Don't worry about it. Government will take care of us. Folks, that's why we're going to accept UBI, just like we accept Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD, food stamp. We accept it because it sounded like a good idea, and people didn't know any better, or they were too desperate to care. Either way, it leads to control and tyranny. Any comments, Melody?
No. I mean, we're beginning to see it pop up in all these cities, the bigger cities, a little bit here, a little bit there, until, you know, it's just gradually accepted. And, you know, they're sugarcoating what socialism is. You hear so many of these, some of these politicians just and co-hosts and, you know, actors and actresses and, you know, these nighttime hosts and comedians and so forth. They make fun of those who believe in socialism and talk about socialism, not believe in it, but we talk about it and and how bad it is for a nation and so forth. And they're just desensitizing people. Then they look to Europe and see how socialism works. They don't look to Venezuela and make that comparison. They don't compare about how much a cup of coffee costs. They don't talk about how, you know, their health care, how long it takes to see people. We're experiencing it now. And so but the masses will come to accept, because government has created it difficult for them to survive by throwing away their jobs. And so the plan was in place for a very long time.
Yes, it had been, and have eased it in over the decades, over generations. And I know this now. I know it. But tell me, Melody, how can someone who's retired afford to back out and I say, I'm not going to be involved anymore. Cut off my checks. I don't want your Medicare. I don't want Social Security. I'm going to live without it. Do you know how tough that'd be for people today, the average individual, to do that? With what they have coming in, it'd be almost impossible because they really didn't plan for anything in retirement. They may put some money back, some savings back, the way they could, they can get by. But without the income just coming back in through Social Security and other things, most of them couldn't make it. That's just a fact.
And the thing of it is, too, and there's a lot of people who have huge retirement accounts, and they paid into Social Security all their life. So is it right to have it like a means test, to adjust? But this is all coming because we all know the government doesn't have the money to pay for it, but they're going to keep taking your money. And everybody knows that it's a system ready to fall apart.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it is. And that's something, again, we walked into sort of blindsided, I guess. But we did it willingly because we thought it was the best thing for us to make our life easier. So, folks, that's where we are. With this great reset, it is coming. It will come no matter what we do now. It's too late to change. It's going to come. It's coming. They want it in place by 2030. I think a good chance may make it before then. In 2030, Mel, it's not that far away now. Six and a half years or so. 7.5 years or so, it'll be here. So a lot of people are going to live to see this happening. And we're getting used to the idea that, hey, if things get too tight again, don't worry, government bails out. I mean, you mentioned before on the air that the Maine governor proposes giving $850 inflation relief checks to people in Maine. Maine's governor released a revised budget proposal on Friday that would increase checks to the state plans to send the residents $850. That'd be an increase of $100. The Democrat Governor Janet Mills said she wants to increase the relief checks because of factors such as high inflation, rising fuel costs. The money will go to the residents who earn less than $75,000 a year. Mills said the checks would give back half the state surplus to about 800,000 residents of the state. Now, that's great. $850. How long will that last you with the rising inflation rate and even fuel alone? $850, oh, thanks a lot. How long will that going to last you? Not only will that last long, it'll cause the state budget to also inflation. So we're hooked in the idea that giving is going to make a difference, but it's not going to work because the government can't give you except something it creates out of thin air, which only destroys the foundation that's built on, which is nothing. Hang in there, folks. It's going to get interesting.
Buckle up. We're heading into the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch, and it is Monday, March 21st, 2022. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. It's all there. And, you know, I got calls already, Butch, silver, things are backing up. But I got a
really?
Call on Friday, I believe it was, and said, is the Mint no longer making the Silver Eagles? I heard somebody said that they stopped making them until the end of the year and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, that is not true. Premiums have skyrocketed, and certainly there's a two-week delay on them, but they're still making them. It was the Peace and Liberty, they were making these Morgan dollars and celebration and so forth. They're the ones that they stopped, not the Silver Eagles. So that's just how things get so confusing and misinformation gets, you know, sent out by someone who wants to pitch a lot of silver and so forth. So silver is still available, but it is expensive and there are delays. And most of our foreign gold is 4 weeks out. Silver Eagles are 2 weeks out. What we have live is 90% silver. 1 ounce rounds are a week out. And 100 ounce bars are a week out. And let's see. Everything, the gold seems to be pretty much live. Canadian maple leaves are now a week out. Almost 2 weeks out. So things are beginning to slow up. So if you're looking to convert some of those paper dollars into some real money, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
And Melly, what is this, the Eagle going for now, the silver dollar, though?
Oh, the premium? The premium is $12.50 over spot.
So they're about $37, $38.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Well, the premium is out of sight. Gee.
It is. But hey, it's the only thing that you can get in 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks. That's going to push the price up. Everybody and I think the European gold, which is what we sold, you know, the maples, the Phils and the Brits and the maples, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the war and so forth. I think things probably just came to a standstill, but everybody was buying those silver products because the premium on Silver Eagles were so high. So people were buying, you know, the foreign gold because there was, you know, a $3, $4, $5 savings. Well, that's not the case anymore. So, well, there's still that savings, but you have to wait.
If somebody, I want to see if anybody can wait a couple more weeks to get a much better bargain. That's what I would opt out for anyway. You know I like silver. You like silver eagles. I give those birthday gifts to my grandchildren. If I was going to pay that kind of premium, I could save half the premium by waiting about, you know, a few more weeks. I could do that, no problem. So it's buying what you want, but being wise with it. But you were talking about gas cars from the state of Maine. Well, guess what? Guess who else getting on the act? Maybe. White House considers sending Americans gas cards. Melody, I'm so excited. The White House, by the way, gas dropped 4 cents a gallon here. Woo! The White House considered giving Americans gas cards to help offset the high prices, but faced strong opposition from congressional committees which questioned the plan's viability and effectiveness. Why it matters. The Biden administration is feeling political pressure from high energy costs made worse by Western sanctions against Russia, and Democrats desperately want to offer some kind of policy response. What we're watching, the White House this week considered having the IRS send gas cards to Americans, a short-lived idea that some key House Democrats vehemently oppose. A House Democratic counsel on Wednesday laid out for the White House a list of reasons why gas cards will be a bad idea, including it would be expensive and poorly targeted. It could worsen inflation. They figured that out. It could worsen inflation and wouldn't do much to a lower cost. Delivering the cards will be a slow process that could bog down the IRS in the middle of the filing season, potentially delaying people's tax returns. Well, are in the process of hiring 10,000 more agents, IRS agents? Okay. So, what are they going to do? Can they help with the returns? I mean, I'm just curious. What are you going to do? This is going to be going to harass the public, I suppose. But they went to the White House, they would give them gas cards. Isn't that getting close to the idea of rationing? You're getting gas cards in the mail. Isn't that getting close to the idea of rationing?
Yeah.
And this has been discussed, folks. It's getting up close to that idea. Prepare yourself because it's coming. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with you. And that is, looking to the government for help. That's what it is. We go to them instead of asking what the problem is and solving the problem. Just give us some more money. Buy our way. Buy your vote. And nobody inquires as to why. Why is this happening? Fix the problem. But they can't fix the problem unless they fix our monetary policy. They can't fix the problem until they default on our debt.
And they're not going to fix the problem as long as they keep the pipeline or everything shut down where we can't even produce our own oil. That's all. Folks, this is, if you have any common sense at all, you can see this is happening on purpose. Mm-hmm. If Biden was so concerned about your price of a gallon of gasoline, he would reopen the pipeline. He'd get drilling back in his country, an offshore drilling, get back in the national reserve. National properties are off limits for oil drilling, period, or gas, anything else. Off limits, but they love you enough to send you a gas card. Oh,
yes, they
gracious.
Do love you.
Tell you what, I know you give oil price today, but I must have missed it. What is the price of oil today? Barrel of oil?
Well, maybe I didn't do the oil. I don't think I did. I think I did skip it. You had WTI was up 7% and 112. Brent was up also closer to 8%. At 116, natural gas was up 1.75%. So, there's your oil prices.
They're blaming it on the Russian oil ban. And I'd say that probably has something to do with it. But, you know, they want to blame all this on Russia. The gas prices were going through the roof before Russia ever went into Ukraine, Melody. They can't blame us all on Russia. But they want to. So, the price of oil is well over $100 a barrel again. And so there we go. And I don't see it come back anytime soon. But elites suggest price controls. Oh, boy, here we go. I remember Nixon did price controls. I remember that. That just caused inflation to get worse. After they had to release the price controls, everything went right going. Elites suggest price controls, dystopian travel restrictions to manage soaring energy costs. Repeat that now. Elites suggest price controls, dystopian travel restrictions to manage soaring energy costs. Before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Russia supplied the world with one of every 10 barrels of crude consumed. That's 10%, folks. But as the United States, Canada, and Australia have imposed embargoes on Russian crude, and some buyers in Europe are halting purchase, the global oil market is facing one of the worst disruptions since the 1973 oil crisis, when the members of the Organization of Arab Petroleum Exporting OPEC or countries, led by Saudi Arabia, declared an oil ban on Western countries for the support of Israel during the Yom Kippur War. And the folks, that Yom Kippur War, that happened, and it was an oil ban. But it was done with our government's consent to cause this shortage back in 1973. How do you know that, Pastor Butch? I've been married 2 years at the time. I remember those days. I remember that the price of everything went up. And back then, my job that I had at the time, Billy, this started happening. To me, it was decent money. I was making $450 a month. $450 a month salary working for the Summerfield Water Department. That's what they paid back in 1973. And that was decent money back then. Can you imagine today how much? $450 a month, and we get by with it. We didn't live wealthy by any means, but we got by with it. Look at the inflation rate since then, Melody. What would it take to live a month now?
But the sad thing is, if you look at our minimum wages now, is 15. It is out of whack.
It is.
It's totally out of whack.
It says the energy price shock of the mid-70s led to the reduction of maximum national speed limits from 70 to 55. The 21% reduction of speed equated to gas consumption savings. Now, that's been debated ever since that happened. But anyway, now the International Energy Agency, the IEA, has proposed similar measures to lessen the oil stock following the Russian invasion of Ukraine and embargoes on Russian crude. IEA said Western economies could be reduced daily oil demand by 2.7 million barrels within 4 months by restricting how people drive, indicating the move to reduce highway speed could almost offset the 3 million barrel a day loss of Russian production for April. The IEA has unveiled a 10-point action plan it hopes Western countries will implement to curtail oil demand. Reduce speed limits on highways by at least 10 miles per hour. Work from home up to 3 days a week where possible. Car-free Sundays in cities. In other words, no cars driven in cities on Sundays. Make the use of public transport cheaper and incentivize micro-mobility, walking and cycling. Alternate private car access to road in large cities. Folks, are you seeing something here about cutting back on automobiles on the highways? Increase car sharing and adopt practices to reduce fuel use. Promote efficient driving for freight trucks and delivery of goods. Use high-speed and night trains instead of planes where possible. Avoid business air travel where alternative options exist. Reinforce adoption of electric and more efficient vehicles. Okay, that's six of the plans there that I wanted to bring up there that I thought was kind of interesting. And I just read an article yesterday, I think it was, or day before yesterday. They want to put 500,000 automated tractor and trailers on the highway. They want to do away 500,000 truckers' jobs. Now, that, folks, I'm not making this up. Look it up for yourself. They're having trouble getting they said on the freeway, the trucks have no problem driving without a driver. They're trying to figure out how to get them from the inside the city out to the interstates. Once you get it figured out, they expect to do away with over a half a million truckers' jobs. What do you think about that, Melody?
Well, just wait and see what type of a convoy they have going to D.C. then.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of convoys D.C., are they still there?
You know what? That sure was kept under the radar, wasn't it?
I haven't heard a word about it.
Uh-uh.
No, I haven't. And I suppose Canada's idea is it's no longer doing anything. I guess, I don't know what's happened there. I haven't heard a word out of that either, really. But, we're seeing the noose being tightened. And you have to be absolutely insane or ignorant, willfully blinded to the truth, not to see the noose tightening. You can almost sense it, can you? You can almost feel it in the air, can't you?
I think you can.
Yeah, you can. You can see the idea has been put out in plain open view now. One of the head advisors for Klaus Schwab, one of the main advisors, I can't remember his name, Dr. So-and-so, they said that people, folks, you can go to the website, pastorbutch.com, look under Mark the Beast Technology, and you'll see it on there, or Church News. they now said that people can be hacked. I said, the doctor said, people can be hacked, that we can take away their free will, that there'll be a God in the clouds that control us, but it won't be the God that people say the greater power in the clouds. It'll be the iCloud, Google Cloud, that will control the people. Now, he said that. I didn't say that. He said, we will take over their free will. And Klaus Schwab said, we're not going to change your work or type of work. We're going to change you. Melanie, that is pretty dark talk, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
But this is being said openly now. This is not something they're hiding. Now we're having open discussion on controlling people's minds, which means to take away their free will. And Klaus Schwab said, you own nothing and you love it. How's that going to work? I don't know. But they're ushering in this new age, if you will, this new world order, ushering in a little more every day, and the masses simply don't see it. Now, different topic. U.S. sending Soviet anti-air defense systems to Ukraine that were secretly acquired. Folks, we're getting deeper and deeper into this war. And if something doesn't happen to cut this thing down pretty soon, we're going to be in World War III. And some people always said it started. And Bob Chapman said that World War III was starting in the Baltics. I didn't see it when he told me that. I did not see that back then. But I certainly see it now. But greater escalation is in the air as two nuclear-armed superpowers continue stumbling toward a hugely alarming World War III scenario as the Russian invasion of Ukraine reaches almost a full month. The Wall Street Journal on Monday has cited U.S. defense officials who say Washington is covertly sending Soviet-made air defense equipment to Ukraine to help repel Russian air power. If they're covertly doing it, how come we know about it? Anyway, it seems this is the Biden administration's alternative to directly imposing a no-fly zone. It is still a step in that direction. The U.S. is sending some of the Soviet-made air defense equipment it secretly acquired during decades ago to bolster the Ukrainian military as it seeks to defend off Russian air and missile attacks, U.S. officials said, WSJ writes. The systems which one U.S. official said include a SA-8 are decades old and were obtained by the U.S. so it could examine the technology by the Russian military and which Moscow has exported around the world. So we're sending air defense systems to Ukraine. No, we're not sending their planes over yet. We're not doing that. But folks, that's so close to that happening. That is really sounding more and more scary all the time. After the break, we're going to share what NATO is doing now. And we are part of NATO, folks. We are part of NATO. So you better listen up and maybe think about what would you do if America went to war. You better think about that. This won't be a war that won't touch us this time. If it's a World War III now, believe me, America will be one of the first ones hit in a lot of different ways. Melody, what do you want to say before break?
You know, there's just so much that's not being reported. We reported on this last week about the Russian debt. I think that's going to have so much more impact than what anybody even realizes. And again, that is part of a World War III. We can have World War III without nuclear blasts. So, but we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm not sure I have Butch with me. Are you here, Butch? Guess he's not. So we're going to talk about the unpredictable risks of this Russian debt crisis, and I think it is very important. And, you know, that was one of the reasons the financial markets rallied on Friday, was because they made these vital transfers to foreign investors, sidestepping what would have been Moscow's first sovereign default on nearly, 2.5 decades. But and the debt with Russia's, the problem with Russia's debt today is far different than in 1998 when financial turmoil and a cash crunch forced Moscow to renege on payments to domestic bond holders. This time Russia has cash, but a big chunk of it, its reserves, has been frozen by the U.S., European, and Japanese officials as, of course, as punishment for its invasion of Ukraine. To blunt the negative impact of the global financial system, the U.S. Treasury has said it would allow Moscow to transfer frozen funds to cover its foreign bond payments until May 25th. But think of that as only a limited insurance policy, and it could run out at any minute. And so he has another deadline. They had nearly $2.86 billion in interest and bond payments that are due by April 4th. Now, this is according to the Institute of International Finance. If Moscow does try to pay in the lowly ruble, such a move will be tantamount to a sovereign default. Rating agencies have said it would be Russia's first on its foreign-held debt since the Bolsheviks halted payments in 1918. Such events in the past have infected the global system through contagion or a financial domino effect that spreads as panicked investors yank money from foreign countries, upending their borrowing costs, and then use stock markets and the currency rates. So this is not over yet as far as this is. There's a deputy chief economist, Emina Rybakova, at the Institute of International Finance, said most likely a big chunk of it will have to be written off. It's going to be unpleasant. And there are global pension funds in the United Kingdom, Europe, and the United States that are involved in this. But we're watching for signs on the market, and we're not seeing any big dislocations yet. And that's the key, yet. So you've got some timelines there, some dates, April 4th and May 25th, that you're going to see a lot of volatility. And, you know, Butch, if we tinker and continue to try to get involved in his stop to in Ukraine, he starts paying in rubles. Look out. So there goes your pension plans.
That is so tenuous, and it seems like it's worse every day. I mean, it's like walking a tightrope in a high wind. You know, it gets very scary. you never know what's going to happen next.
You never know.
And the leaf's a little slip, and it's done. I mean, we're getting closer. This article here, NATO, now listen to this, Melody. NATO calls up hundreds of thousands of troops ready to begin World War III. How's that sound? The pressure to start World War III is on. I don't like the way this is worded at all. This is Armstrong Economics by Martin Armstrong. NATO now expects that there will be a major war with Russia, and the confrontation may come even in a few weeks. The NATO Secretary General announced that an increased war alert for hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Stoltenberg issued a joint statement with the U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, stating that hundreds of thousands of NATO troops were placed on high alert with 100,000 U.S. troops. Now let that sink in. Hundreds of thousands of NATO troops were set on high alert along with 100,000 U.S. troops. The problem with war is that both sides lie and twist the facts to support their own agenda. They paint their adversary as evil to stir up the troops to fight and risk their lives, typically for fake stories and agendas. And that's nothing new, folks. I did it. My generation did it. Gulf of Tonkin never happened. But we didn't know it. We were fighting for the red, white, and blue and goodness. And we were the White Hats. We were the Americans. The press is deliberately trying to create World War III. Is engaged in using photos of children hurt and other events unrelated to Ukraine. Repeat that. They are engaged in using photos of children hurt and others from events unrelated to Ukraine. This all to beat the war drums to create World War III without any honest understanding of what that will mean. And we don't know what that's going to mean. This will be beyond anything the world has ever seen. Oh, wow. Melody, I don't like how that's worded. They are beating the war drums, intentionally beating the war drums. And as I said, we don't know both. I'm convinced that neither side has told the whole truth. Our side definitely is not. When you have 100,000 NATO troops ready and 100,000 U.S. troops, that doesn't sound very, it doesn't calm your nerves a whole lot, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, If you try to talk about this, you know, you get accused of being a Putin fan and all. And that's not true whatsoever.
That's not true at all.
It's not true at all. I can't believe that he's in today's world that, you know, but we knew government loves wars. And we have to, it's all governments, not just one or two. It's all governments. They like wars. They have to have wars. But he has given plenty of notice on what he's willing to do. He's not going to back down. And it is concerning. And go ahead, Butch.
Well, I was going to say, Putin can't back down now. He's in too far. He can't back down. If he backs down now, he loses his face with the world. And I don't know all of the reasons. I know some of the reasons why he's there. And I know that a lot of the fault lies with NATO and the U.S. I know that to be a fact. But Putin can't back down. Now, it's the next article now, Belarus.
And you know what? You know, before you go on, and the Zelensky, they all knew this was going to happen. And
of
nobody
did
a thing.
Well, but Zelensky said he didn't know. Zelensky said he was going to go to bed and go sleep.
Yeah.
He wouldn't worry about it.
There's
so many things here don't add up.
And yet people are holding him up like he's some sort of a hero. And it's like this man didn't do anything.
No, he didn't.
Because he thought he had NATO behind him in the United States. That's why. So he set the United States up, too. It's, you know, but anyway, go ahead.
Now, Belarus is getting involved with the war between Ukraine and Russia. Folks, another country's coming in the war. While there's without a doubt a host of propaganda that is hitting the media heavily right now regarding the Ukraine war, is this the fog of war Klaus was warned about? We're going to give you some of the straight facts that we're seeing come out of the situation, a few of our thoughts and what that may mean at the moment for you as a prepper. Notice the word prepper. Folks, are you preparing for this? Fair warning, you're going to hear a lot about Belarus today. Well, it may have been a country you might have thought a little in the past. You're going to be seeing it in the news much more in the near future. Belarus is not very happy. For starters, Ukraine was recently accused of launching a Taka-U missile into Belarus. I keep saying Belarus on March 13. The missile was shot down and nobody was injured or killed, but this marks a very important new development. As can be imagined, it only takes a single incident to drag a new country into an already existing war. Belarus could very easily or very likely use this attack as justification for entering a war on Russia's side. Now, folks, did it happen? Was the rocket fired? I don't know. You don't either. But if Belarus goes in on Russia's side, what's that going to mean? Well, you just have to just imagine. Belarus's Alexander Solzhenitsyn has even gone so far as to say that this country is being pushed into war via such missile attacks. Switzerland, even picked a side. In what is a rather unexpected move, Switzerland has actually picked a side. They are no longer neutral in the Ukraine war. They joined the EU-imposed sanctions against Belarus that were imposed on March 2nd and March 9th. So Switzerland is actually getting involved. They have done it before. In World War II, World War I, either one. They stay neutral. This time, they're getting involved. Yep. And I think, Melly, I think this time probably don't have any choice. This war, no matter what they do, they're going to be hit. If it goes to World War III, I can't think of a country in the world that's not going to be affected. I really can't. I can't imagine that the whole world's not going to suffer for this and for a lot of different reasons, not to mention the famine and shortage that we'll see. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I agree. I mean, and the thing of it is we're already seeing shortages. We're all seeing...
Yes, we are.
We already see countries hoarding items for their own countries. What are we doing? Oh, Biden's going to Europe, and before he goes, he's going to go to church and ride bike.
Yeah. Oh, my. It isn't funny. UK's Johnson... Yes. Go ahead.
No.
What are you going to say?
I'm still thinking of Biden.
Bless his heart. Boris Johnson urges China to get off the fence on Ukraine, warns against choosing evil. In a fresh interview with Sunday Times, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson called on China to choose the side of good and join the global community by definitely condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He said failing to do so is akin to choosing the wrong side of World War II. Johnson described the ongoing war as a battle between good and evil and said that Putin was trying to establish a new world order, which was authoritarian. And folks, it's just the opposite. Totally the opposite of that. Russia is trying to stop a new world order. But let's move on. He said, as time goes on and the number of Russian atrocities mount up, I think it's become steadily more difficult and politically embarrassing for people either actively or passively to condone Putin's invasion. There are considerable dilemmas now for people who thought they could sit on the fence. Johnson further said it's his belief that some within the CCP government are likely having doubts about China's official stance, which has stopped short of even calling the conflict an invasion, but is merely referring to the crisis. Johnson asserted, and yes, I think that in Beijing you are starting to see some second thoughts. I thought it was really... I hate to say it, that come to a point in my life where I can't trust any nation's leaders to tell me the truth. I just can't trust any of them, especially anymore in the West. I know what I'm saying, folks. I was born and bred in West Virginia, USA, and I waved the red, white, and blue, and I went to war under that thinking I was doing the right thing. Yeah, I did. I'm no longer that naive. I don't trust the East, and I further don't trust the West. So that puts me in a quandary, Melody. It really does. I try to weigh the facts and information I have coming in, and all the facts I've seen so far, since I've been alive, is the West lying to us. Any comments to that?
No, it is true. It is very difficult to believe anything. And I mean, at one point in time, you had the media that would kind of expose, but that's not even true anymore. The media is, I mean, they're all in it together. And so, no, you can't trust the East. You can't trust the West. Trust the North Pole, maybe.
Never know. If you can find Santa Claus.
Yeah, maybe.
And India ignores Western pressure, buys cheap Russian crude. Yeah. We're no longer influencing the major consumer now, folks. China ignores us. India is a major consumer. They ignore us. We're no longer influencing the world like one time we did. But with China refusing to bend the knees to Washington to denounce Putin demands, it appears the Biden administration narrative that the world is united against Russia is cracking at the seams, as Bloomberg reports. The cheap Russian Urals crude is finding willing buyers in India. And why wouldn't they? With Urals crude trading at a stunning $30 discount to Brent, who can blame India for snapping it up? Russia's offering oil and other commodities at a heavy discount. We'll be happy to take that, one of the Indian government officials said. The officials added that such trade required preparatory work, including transportation, insurance cover, and getting at the right blend of crude. But once that was done, India would take Russia up on its offer. Melody, America really has very little influence on major consumers any longer. If China and India ignore the bans, we're not influencing too many people then, are we?
Not anymore.
So this, I tell something, folks. America is not preeminent as it once was at all. And we just want to get over the fact that America, America the Great is any longer America the Great. They're laughing at us. We have a woke military that's put on the high heels before they go to war. We have a commies falling apart, a nation that's in turmoil, and we think we can take on Russia and maybe China. I think we better think again. We're about out of time, Miss Melody. What do you want to say?
We are. A great program, Butch. Thanks for being here today, and I want to thank the listeners also. And 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow, so until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.